try it again. The 18th day of August, 2013, the year of our Lord, Zion Baptist Church. And I think we'll title today's message, And Some Doubt It. And Some Doubt It. We're in Matthew, the 28th chapter, the bribing of the soldiers, and the Great Commission. The bribing of the soldiers and the Great Commission, and some doubted. Now, I think we've covered the resurrection of Jesus being on the first day of the week or at daylight or before daylight of the first day of the week. There's people that squabble back and forth about when the resurrection actually took place, how long the Lord stayed in the grave, versus 3 days and three nights, like Noah stayed in the grave, or stayed in the belly's whale, the whale's belly, or the great fish. I'm not getting into all that. Bible does not contradict itself, and every prophecy that's ever been made has been fulfilled exactly when and where and how it was supposed to be. I don't believe the Bible because it's perfect in its lettering. I believe the Bible because God put it in my heart to do so. I didn't just determine one day and strain real hard, I won't believe it. I can't help but believe it. God put it in me to believe it. I believe this is the word of the living God that He gave His people. It's outlasted everything. They've done everything they could to destroy it and to destroy the Christian church. We still stand. We've never been big. Roman Catholicism is big, or it was at one time, still big, compared to the true church, the real believers. They're a small congregation scattered all over the face of this earth, of every color, of every language. They're believers. That's the supernatural power of God come over them and broke them, conquered them. They submitted before the throne on their knees, weeping bitterly. God have mercy on me, a sinner. They see themselves as wretched excuses for Christians. They humble themselves before because they know their need of God, their need of His mercy and grace every second of every day. They know that the next breath that they take is due only to God and His mercy upon them. They realize that for every creature that walks the face of the earth, and that it is only by the power of Jesus Christ that the world is held together and that things still exist as they do. Because He is all in all, the Bible says, and it says it in these very scriptures we're about to read. Jesus rose from the dead, and told the women that were there, the angel told the women, and the Lord told Mary, go tell my brethren. Now what he said, verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, the women, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Of course, they actually saw him before then because he appeared to them in Jerusalem in the upper room upstairs where they were hiding in fear of the Jews. You remember they ran, hid themselves, and they were afraid. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. It's very important today. Remember that the apostles ran afraid, scared of the Roman soldiers and the Jews, the elders. They ran and hid themselves. And that's where they were when Jesus told the women. That don't even sound right, does it? The apostles were hiding. Jesus told the women, "To go tell my brethren, I'll meet them in Galilee." But he actually appeared to them there in Mark and John. I believe John the 20th chapter, Mark 16th chapter. He appeared to them in the room there. Remember old doubting Thomas? And but he told her, go tell them. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. I'm reading verse 11, chapter 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, meaning the women going to tell the apostles what Jesus said, behold, some of the watch came into the city, and meaning Jerusalem, and they and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day, meaning when Matthew wrote the gospel. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our God, we thank you for the reading of your word today. Pray your blessings upon it. Pray that you would help us and enlighten us to the truth of thy word. The Holy Ghost would fill us today. Help us, O God, to be enlightened and understand, see, Lord, things that you would have us to see that would be helpful and beneficial to us in our pilgrimage and our sojourning upon this earth. Lord, that we might be pleasing unto thee in every day. Lord, help it to humble us before the throne of grace. Lord, help it to see. Help the word of God to cause us to see our need of thee and our need to stay before thee, before the throne, that we might have communion with thee. Lord, that your grace be not far from us. Please have mercy upon us and help your people today. Help your servant as he attempts to feed your sheep. Preach the gospel, Lord. Have mercy. In Christ's name. Amen. Well, these women that Jesus had talked to, and of course, here in Matthew, and as they went to tell his disciples, meaning the women that were there, the angel of the Lord told them, here, he is not here in verse 6, for he is risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now, the soldiers were there. They saw everything that happened. They saw the angel Gabriel or whoever he was come and roll the stone away and then sit upon it. Their knees were knocking together. They were so afraid. He probably only appeared to them as a young man. But he looked like lightning. And skewed them bad, let me put it that way. So much that they were shaking, and they looked like dead men. Ever been so scared that your blood left your body and you turned white as a sheet and thought you were dead? Well, that's what they thought. That's how they looked. And so, come see where the Lord lay. And I'm sure as soon as they were gone, that those soldiers went to see where the Lord lay. That he's not there. They wasn't kidding. He's gone. Let's just go on. And go quickly and tell his disciples. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, feared joy, and did run and bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and beheld him, held him by the feet, and worshipped him. Then said Jesus to them, be not afraid, go tell my brethren, that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now, when they were going to tell the disciples, behold, some of the watch came to the city. Now, they couldn't all leave. Why? Because they'd been posted there at the sepulchre where Jesus had been put in there. So they couldn't all leave, but they, whoever was in charge, they decided amongst themselves, you're going to tell what happened here. The rest of us is going to stay where we're supposed to be. And so they go. And showed it to the chief priests, all the things that were done. So they saw everything. They heard everything. They saw the angel come, roll the stone away. They saw the women come, and they saw the angel talk to the women, and then the angel invite them inside to see where Jesus was. And then off they go. And when they were assembled, meaning the chief priest, and with the elders, meaning the elders of the city, had taken counsel. So this is the Sanhedrin that were now assembled together to decide what to do about this situation, because it's about to turn bad for them. And they gave large money unto the soldiers to lie, because the soldiers told them exactly what happened. And the chief priest knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, that this was no joke. It happened just like he said. And they knew that there were no disciples that came at night who was already scared out of their wits and hiding in a room somewhere from them Roman soldiers were not going up there to confront Roman soldiers and take the body of Jesus. Why would they? He was right where he was supposed to be, in a rich man's sepulcher. The women were there for the next morning to get somebody to roll stone away so they could go in and anoint his body with oil and do what they were supposed to do. Everything was fine. Why would they want to come get him? Besides that, they were scared of the Roman soldiers. They'd already run away from them. There was no way that they were about to address them to take away the body of Jesus so they could say that he'd been risen from the dead. And nor had they. And even if they had, why would they remove the napkin from his face, unwrap him, and turn him away naked? Jews was kind of dumb too, wasn't he? I mean, first they sent and put the Roman soldiers there, so now they got witnesses of what actually happened. And then they tell them to tell a lie and give them a big sum of money and tell them, look, if it gets around that y'all were asleep, every one of you, and you couldn't hear that big stone rolling away, and you couldn't hear them unwrapping Jesus' body and hauling him out, and the governor, Pontius Pilate, decides to cut your head off, we'll intervene for you and secure you so that he'll kill you. We'll tell him, that's fine, that's okay, don't worry about it. And that's what they said. That's exactly what he said. That's what they told him. Tell him that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, every one of us. And we couldn't hear that big stone rolling away and all the disciples in there getting the body of Jesus to haul him away. We were all asleep. And if this comes to the governor, meaning Pontius Pilate's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, we won't let him kill you. So they took the money. Real honorable soldiers, weren't they? You see, they had no religion. They were heathens. And so their honor went away when they were offered large sums of money. In other words, whatever it was they wanted is actually what the priest gave them. In other words, whatever it'll take to shut you up and to make you tell a lie and never repeat what you saw again, that's what we'll give you. Which they stole from the treasury of the temple. Because they didn't have money otherwise. And this, so they took the money and did as they were told. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Not that the soldiers lied, but that the soldiers all went to sleep. And the disciples came while they were asleep, rolled the stone away and stole the body of Jesus. That's what's told among the Jews. And then they come out with a worse lie than that. Like that wasn't dumb enough. Which really is an insult to the Jews. It really tells how stupid they were to believe such a lie just because the Sanhedrin told them. That would be like America believing what the government tells us. Like we believe every word of it. But they believed what the Sanhedrin would tell them. And they believed that disciples came and sold the body of Jesus away. And then they even created a bigger lie. After this lie, they said that Judas came and got him and buried him on his own property where there was water running. He diverted the water, dug a grave, buried him in it, and then rerouted the water the way that it was so that Jesus' body would always be underwater and wouldn't be found. Judas was dead days before. So, a liar can't keep up with what he tells, and when he does, it doesn't even make sense. So you see what trouble the Jews go to try to cover up the truth of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and how stupid it appears. When you look at all the evidence of what actually happened and how that all the Roman soldiers would be asleep when all this action was going on right beside them. So, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. We will not discuss what mountain it was. Some say Mount Tabor. Doesn't say. Might have been Mount Carmel. You know, outside of Capernaum there where Jesus spent a lot of time. It was a secluded place and he could be in quiet with his disciples. But there was 500 people there. There was more than 500 people there. Now what it says in 1 Corinthians, that Paul said, I believe chapter 15, somewhere in there, that there was more than 500 people that Jesus appeared to at one time. We only do that on the mountain. You know, where they can all see him. He'd be a little higher than they. They could visually see him, over 500 people. Maybe the 70 disciples and then the 11 apostles and then many other disciples that came to see Jesus risen from the dead appeared to him on that mountain. And that was a appointed place. You know what they say? Where Jesus had appointed them. So at some time, either when he met with them in the upper room where they were hiding before the ladies got there to tell them what Jesus said when he appeared to them. And Thomas said, he said, feel here, Thomas. Put your hand in my side. See. Feel where they speared me. Behold my hands and my feet. So it was either there or either before he was crucified that he had told them, this is where we're going to meet on this mountain in Galilee. It was appointed. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Now see, before he was risen from the dead, they doubted. Don't be too harsh with them because you doubt too. every believer, when he looks at himself and sees what a sinner that he is, and what a terrible disappointment he is as a servant of the Most High God, and how often we have to come before the throne of grace and ask the Lord to forgive us of our sins on a daily basis, we wonder in our own minds, in our own hearts, how in the world could the Lord save me and me continue to do some of the things that I do. Every believer feels that way, or should, if he's a true believer. How in the world could the Lord save me? And am I really saved? If I continue and live and do some of the things that I do, am I really saved? Even though you know you are, because you love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that sorry, filthy vessel of clay that you live in draws you away from time to time. But we have doubts. And some of these doubted. Before He was risen from the dead, is this really the Son of God? Even though they said and called Him the Son of God, God in the flesh, that's how they saw Him. That's what they knew Him to be. That's what He professed to be. And they believed He was that. But at times, they doubted. Now He's risen from the dead. They know He was dead. They know He was buried. They know He was put in the sepulcher and stayed there 3 days. He was dead. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. They doubted. But some doubted. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. I'm not sure what they mean when they say, but some doubted. I'm not sure that they doubted then. I'm sure that they saw Him as the risen Lord and they had no doubts that this was the Son of the living God. This was God manifested in the flesh. I'm sure they had no doubts about that. I'm sure that prior to this, that they doubted. Prior to them seeing Him risen from the dead, that they had doubts. So I don't know if they're talking about prior to this, some doubted, or if some doubted right now. I think there being over 500 people there, that some doubted in what they saw. That may be what they're talking about when they say, and some doubted. Some may have doubted that, is this Jesus? Or is this a ghost that I'm looking at? If there's over 500 people and He's on a mountain higher than they are they higher than He, which I doubt, but He higher than they are, He's in His flesh and blood. You can handle Him and touch Him. He can eat and drink. This ain't no ghost. This ain't no spirit. This is flesh and blood. Jesus risen from the dead. The firstborn from the dead to be eternal risen from the dead. I think it means that some doubted, is that really Jesus? Or is that a ghost? Is that a hallucination that I'm seeing? What is that? And so the next verse explains that. That's what makes me think that that's what he means when he says that some doubted. They doubted, is this really Jesus in the flesh? Is this a ghost or is this Him? Because they weren't close to this. And the next verse says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. In other words, He got out amongst them where they could see Him and feel Him and touch Him and know that this was Jesus. The same Jesus that they had crucified and buried in the sepulcher. This is Him. This ain't no ghost. This ain't no figure that I'm looking at. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As the mediator, He had now conquered Satan and death. Death no longer ruled and reigned. Jesus had been risen from the dead, rose Himself by His own power, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, all in their part. He was risen from the dead eternally, never to die again. The firstborn of those. So all power is given to me in heaven and in earth by His Father. He is mediator because He is the Son of God. He had the same power that God the Father did and God the Holy Spirit did. Always had. Never lost it. As the Son of God. As God manifested in the flesh. But as the mediator, the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. He, the mediator, now that He had accomplished all that He was given to do in His death, burial, and resurrection, now He is given all power in heaven and earth. Meaning this, that the old law is dead and gone. The old ceremonial law where you had to dip 7 times and you had to wash and you had to do all these things, it's gone. Now establish the church. And we'll have ordinances that we keep. We'll have laws or we'll have commandments that we live by as a church. And I've set those. And as a church, as a body of believers, there's rules that we will live by, and these are things. So all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So on the earth, in the church, my kingdom. Now He has power over every magistrate, every governor, king, tyrant, and everybody else. He has power over them all, and they all do His will, whether they know they're doing His will or not. But to me here, He's talking about the church. All power is given to me in heaven and in earth to establish the church, the kingdom of God on the earth. Go ye therefore, since all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, the church is established. Before you could only go into Judea. You remember He told them, go ye therefore into Judea and preach the gospel. No, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what He told them. When He sent them out to preach before He died, He said, go ye into all Judea and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But now, He has fulfilled His obligation. He has paid for the sins of His people. He has risen from the dead. And now He says, go ye therefore where? Into all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go your separate ways. You go here, you go yonder. Scatter across the face of this earth. Teaching all nations. Not no more just Judea, but everywhere. Go teach all nations. All different kinds of people. Not just Jews anymore. You go tell them all. They had no idea what He's talking about. They would. You say, He gave them the commandment. It was an unholy thing for them to even speak to Gentiles. Unless they were transacting some sort of business with them. But to have a casual conversation, that was not done by a Jew. They did not do that. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. You see, even though they didn't realize what He was saying, that was their commandment that He gave them. The 11, not the 500. The 11 apostles, He gave them a commission to go into all nations, teaching all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. That was their commission. They didn't understand what He was talking about. Maybe go everywhere that the Jews are scattered, they were probably thinking in their head. Throughout all the nations of the earth where the Jews are, that's where we're going to be going, because you remember, Gentiles still wasn't preached to. Until Peter. until Peter saw the sheet coming down out of heaven with all the different kind of animals in it, unclean and clean. And then he realized that's what the Lord was talking about. He said, go ye therefore, teaching all nations, teach all nations and baptizing them. He meant the Gentiles too. Because Jesus, you remember, the Messiah was to be a light to all the Gentiles. He was to be a light unto the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Jesus says, amen. So they were not just to go preaching anything, but they were to go preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching them to do, observe all the things that I have commanded you from the time I called you to now. I've taught you everything. Now you go teach them to keep these things. But some doubted. They didn't know exactly what he was talking about teaching all nations. But they learned. And young believers, when they are converted, they don't understand everything. That's the reason the Bible says, and Paul taught Timothy, and Timothy taught other young men, and it's been passed down that way for generations and generations and thousands of years, that you don't take a new convert and send him out soul winning. That's the first thing some of these modern day Baptist churches, and I guess other kind too, first thing they want to do. Get a new convert in the church, put him with a club, send him out soul winning. He still don't know if his own soul is saved yet. And you're going to send him out to win other souls when he has no idea what the scripture says. He's as dumb as that little baby boy back there. Don't know nothing. Neither do the people that send them out. But these, the apostles of Christ, that the Spirit of God was about to fall upon them and enlighten them to everything that Jesus had ever said. And they were about to speak in languages that they had never heard before and be equipped to go into all nations and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe. Did anything strike you familiar about that teaching them to observe? Today, all they want to do is tell people to accept Jesus as their personal Savior and make a decision for Christ, and you're saved, and everything's going to be fine. You don't really have to do anything. Just want you to come to church and pay your tithes and be entertained by the preacher and by the puppet shows and by the quartets and all the other garbage that we're going to bring into the church. But they don't teach them that you have to mortify the deeds of the flesh and put on, therefore, the new man. They don't teach them that you have to do anything. But it was very important because it was part of the commission that Christ gave the 11 apostles. You remember it's 11 now. That traitor Judas is dead. And it's 11 apostles that he gives the commission to, teaching them to observe. When God met the children, or the Lord met the children, the Lord Jesus, who was God, that was not yet manifested in the flesh, met the children of Israel on the Mount Sinai, what did he tell them? Did he tell Moses to tell? Well, the Lord told them to start with, and then the people were so scared of the voice of the Lord, they told Moses, you tell him to tell you, and you'll tell us. Well, we can't stand to hear his voice. It's more than we can bear. What was it all about then? Obey my commandments! It's always been about obedience. When the whole thing started and God created Adam and put him in the garden, what was it about then? Obey my commandments! It's always been about obedience. Nothing changed. Still about obedience. Why do you think the Bible says that whosoever he foreknew, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son? What is the image of his dear son? What did Jesus do while he was here upon the earth? What did he do? He obeyed the commandments of his Father. Is that what he said? It's what Jesus said. I have done what you have told me to do. I have done what you commanded me to do. As the mediator between God and man. As the mediator that God made an agreement with before he ever created an angel or a man, he agreed with his son that you will go and take on human flesh and you will be a man with flesh and blood and weak. And you will fulfill every commandment that I've ever given perfectly. And he did it. Because we could not. We were in a fallen state. We were not innocent like our father Adam was, and even he couldn't keep them. Because he loved his wife. He couldn't keep them. But now we're a new man. We're not like that Adam that was innocent. We've been through the fall. And now he has created in us a new man. Created in Christ Jesus under righteousness and holiness. And we are being conformed into the image of his dear son. Why do you think we're going through this? Why do you think we live on this earth from the time we're born until we die and we're called by his grace and he molds us and makes us like Jesus? And when we take that last breath, whew, like him we are. Like him we are. And we'll see him as he is. We don't live this life and go through all the misery and the pain and the suffering just because he likes to see us suffer. We don't go through all of our trials and tribulations and things just because we need to suffer. We're going through them because he's making us like Jesus. Learning to be obedient to everything that he ever commanded us to do. It's always been about obedience. And the only way you can learn to be obedient is the same way your children learn. Get the tar beat out of you. That little man, you know, they hate to hurt him, but that's the only way he's going to learn obedience. What is it doing? If you pay attention just a little bit, is it time to go? No. If you pay attention just a little bit, you can learn from a little child. I can see it in Eli. He needs to have his will done. Give it to me, Daddy. Give me that ball. I want to give it to him. And what he needs is a help out of him so he understands it's not going to be your will, boy. It's my will. And you'll obey it or you'll get hurt till you break. No different with God. He's going to break your will till you understand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My will means nothing to me. My whole purpose for breathing is to do your will, O God, just like your son, Jesus. You understand? Now, a heathen can't understand that. A lost person can't understand that. But God's people can. Understand why you suffer. He's molding you and making you like Jesus. We'll close there for today. And we end up Matthew. How long have we been on Matthew? A year or two now? Amen.
Brother Andy, yes, Lord's blessings down.